Sorry, there we go. Just do a bit of manoeuvring and furniture movement. This morning?
Yeah.
Good. I just love it when our young people are on fire and just serving God. Sorry, do you mind if I touch the cajon? Just going to move that as well, otherwise I will I'm falling of some sort. Okay, so we're continuing our talk today on sessions on centrality of prayer. Sorry, I realise I'm just tidying up. I can't do mess. Sorry. Got to do my own house to do, Mabel. Okay, so we're talking on the centrality of prayer. And I know for a lot of us, we talk about prayer and the power of prayer. And if any of you, by the way, just are feeling cold, feel free just to shake your hands and stuff. I'm just going to keep doing that because I am freezing. But we're talking, and I'm very aware that we live in an age where mindfulness and self-help programs are everywhere, okay? And lots of people try and find different various kinds of meditation. They go to different places because people are looking for an answer. They're looking for something to sort out what's going on in their lives. And, I know mindfulness got brought into school a couple of years ago, and it triggered quite a lot of people. It was like, we don't want to do mindfulness in our schools. We don't want that in our school. And but it's really interesting because when I think around being mindful, I just think that actually it's about what can we bring in. So in the school that I run, we bring in the thought for the day, and it's just mindful contemplation on the Word of God. Being mindful about what God is saying on a day-to-day basis. And it's great because we're a Christian ethos school, so therefore we get to do that, whereas other schools I know it's much more difficult. But I think it's so easy for people to lose sight of what the central idea is that the central role of our life, because we're looking at so many other things, and I'm slowing down, sorry. Just suddenly realized, mind, engage. So, you're okay, Stephen? Yeah, sorry. Do you know what? Can we just give Stephen a round of applause? Because I just think he's just getting carried away. I've got Wilson there as well. So between you and Stephen and Wilson, I'm going to be slower. Okay. So mindfulness, it's just something that people go to. But what we do is we lose the central role of our prayer life because we're looking elsewhere. And it's really simple because we look for fancy techniques, we look for these little things, but actually it's really clear in the Bible what it says. You know, Jesus himself took himself off to a place of solitude. He approached his Father. He knelt down in prayer and he spoke to God. Way conversation. He had a dialogue. Prayer helps us grow closer together to God. It helps us grow close to him. And when we pray, when we sit down or we kneel or we stand, you know, we're welcoming God to be part of our everyday life. We're asking him to be in everything. And I don't know about you, times when I can feel a little bit distant from God, and there are times when I feel like, right, I'm so close to God, it's very hard to tell the difference. And I've realized the more I spend time talking and listening to God, the closer I get to him. And when I'm not feeling close to God, it's because my prayer life is suffering. So I'm going to turn to Luke 11, and it should be up on the PowerPoint this morning. I don't know if we managed to get that up. Did you guys get my email this morning with the... No. Okay, so I'm going to read. Sorry, Stephen, you're going to have to... So it's Luke 11, and it's verses 2-4. And he said to them, "When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us, and lead us not into temptation. That is how Jesus taught us to pray. Now in Matthew it says this is how you pray, but it's just reading, the Lord teaches us to pray. And when we have nothing else to say, if we have nothing else, we don't know what to say to God, pray that. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. It shifts something, it shifts our life thing in our prayer. And I want you to turn to Ephesians 3 if you can as well. We're going to jump around. I'm not going to stick a lot longer in Ephesians 3. Oh, it is up there. And it says, I just want to go right up to, it says here, for this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. Sorry, I've read for the wrong reason. For this reason, see, that's right, because it says, for this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide, how long, and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know, is it this that's making that noise? And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. We're going to stop there. For this reason I kneel. Prayer is a way, it's a way of our lives. We surrender our lives, and for this reason, he says here, reason I kneel before the Father. There's a submission, there's a humility in that. Prayer is a way for us to surrender our lives to God and trust that he will lead us. He will lead us. And when we take the time to pray, we are saying and surrendering ourselves, again, our lives to him. We open up that dialogue. And it's so interesting because sometimes, I don't know about you, but I can sometimes just treat it a little bit like an email. And this is what I've got you, I need you to do, God. Here's my to-do list. Yeah, you crack on with that for me, please. And that's not what prayer is. Prayer is a dialogue. It's a communication between two people. It's a communication, you know, God is my creator. I am his creative. He's created me, and therefore we're going to dialogue together. What does he want to say to me? What does he want to impart to me? He's not my servant. God isn't my servant. I serve him. We serve him. So sending him an inbox email, okay? It's okay to say what you want and what you need, but also we sometimes that's all we do, and we don't have that two-way dialogue. And I love the fact that it says, for this reason, he aligned himself to God's purpose. For this reason, God has shown him all through, like as he starts through Ephesians and before he moves on, it's for this reason he knew. He knew. He was aligned with God's will. I kneel before the Father. We need him to lead us. We need him to lead our journey through life and discern the will of God. You know, and a few weeks ago I was talking about the will of God, knowing the will of God for our lives. We get that when we dialogue, when we do that time with him. As we spend time talking, as we spend time listening, we get more and more deposits from heaven. And I don't know about you, but I so want to be downloading what God's thinking, because clearly my thinking is not good. Okay, my thinking is not good. There's certain ways that there are situations that I face and I think I could so easily sort this. I could go in and I could cut down the middle of this, but it really wouldn't be helpful and probably could be hurtful. And so we have to, especially in those times, be on our knees before God and dialoguing with him and getting that impartation from heaven. As we surrender our plans to him, he begins to work things out for good. And it might not be how we want it, but it's his way. And I think when we pray, there is power in the prayers that we pray. But when we download from heaven, we get to move into the things that he's called us to do. His are higher than our plans. And we need to know that his plans are higher than our plans. And it may not be going how you thought it was going. It may not be what you thought was going to look like, but it's his plans. We don't come to God with demands. We don't come with what we come with is an expectation of saying, God, you are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. Regardless of the situation, he's worthy. You know, if God's close to us, then what do we have to fear? You know, what do we have to fear? Mabel's alarm's just going off. She's meant to be somewhere else. Okay, we don't need to fear anything. When God is for us, we haven't got to fear a single thing. You know, there's nothing that God can't do for us. We can live fearlessly, we can live courageously, just like Paul did, because we know that God is for us and not against us. He is for us. I love, just love it, the verse that Jesus says. It says, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. Everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be open. I just love that. Everyone who asks receives. That's just not all my favourites. You know, it's often in our home we have this competition, who's the favourite child, and it's actually quite funny, because when I've spent a couple of times, Simeon seems to think he's the favourite child. They have that little, and it's even in our family. It's like, yeah, we know who my mum's favourite is. Okay, we always have these debates. Who's the favourite? But it's not about God. Doesn't have favourites. We're all his favourites. You know, he wants to. You know, Mabel, I am. Okay, we all have these little things of who's the favourite or who's the. But actually, no, everyone. Absolutely everyone who asks receives. So when you go out on the streets and that person asks to have Jesus in his heart, they're receiving Jesus. Everyone who asks receives. When we're looking for answers, we're seeking, we will find it. It can be so easy to feel alone when things are tough. And I don't know about you, but I've been really going through some really difficult times. The last 4 weeks, I've had the toughest 4 weeks of my life that I could possibly ever imagine. I have had to, I can't go into details at the moment, but really, really struggling. Really to the point of even, so my prayer life, I've been praying, I've been getting up extra early every morning, and I've been sort of processing and working through stuff. But even that, my prayer life has suffered because I am so emotionally tied up with stuff that is going on at the moment, and it can feel so isolating. And I have, there's often times I've sat and said to Gareth, I feel so alone in all of this. Even though I've got Gareth and everyone around me, I felt so alone. But God is always with us. God is always with us. And even in these last 4 weeks where I have been, and I'm still going through it, But God is with me. God is with you. And whatever you're going through, whatever you're struggling with, or even if it's going really, really well, God is with us. And when we pray, we are reminded that He is in control. He will help us through, and He will turn everything to good. Those situations we're facing, He will turn it for good. When you are at your lowest, when you're at your weakest, I'm just going to stand still because it feels like it's underneath this board. I like to move. Okay, when we are at our lowest, the strength, when we pray for strength, you're able to face the day. I know there's a song that when you talk about prayer and strength, strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. When we wait upon the Lord, He helps us get through anything. He gives us the strength and He helps us to get through. Prayer reflects that longing for God. And I know in my prayer life, I've been like longing for God in this season that I'm currently going through. And we can sometimes realize that we are limited in our abilities and we need greater strength. And there's only one person that can fix that. And I'm reminded a little bit of Gareth and his DIY abilities. Okay, Gareth, when I first met him, we were both 18. And I actually, when we first got married, 21 getting married, and Gareth, a plug on one of these plugs. It's just a plug. He didn't know how to change one, take it off and put a new one on, or change a fuse. And it's very interesting because my dad had taught me, he didn't have boys, so I was the one that was under a car bonnet. I was the one that was changing the plugs, changing the light bulbs. Okay? I was the one that did that. And he was determined that none of his girls, and best thing was giving the hammer drill. That was the best thing ever when your dad gave you a hammer drill to drill holes. That was, yeah. Gareth wasn't taught all of that. Gareth didn't get taught that. So when it came to our first place and I needed a blind up at our window, and I was like, Gareth, can you put the blind up? He's thinking, I don't want to do this. And he's like, I don't know how to. And I was like, oh, well, it's good, I do. And but then what I suddenly realized is I was drilling into tile, not normal walls, and tiles are slightly different than them. But anyway, we managed it and we got there. But there are different things that throughout the house that Gareth thinks, I could do that. And I'm like, please don't do that. Please don't do that. You know, your strengths are here. Let's go to somebody else who's got the strength to do that, who's got the skills to do that. You know, because when we had our kitchen done, Gareth was like, do our kitchen. I'm like, no. I could put it together. No. We have to go. We are limited. What I'm trying to get across in what we can do. But God is so much greater. He has the abilities. He has the resources. He has everything that we need to overcome. So when we go to Him, it does mean getting rid of our pride. And I get it for, you know, and I'm not saying this, men, please don't hear this. But sometimes men, when they struggle with the fact they can't do something, there's a pride that comes in and it's like, no, I can do it myself. I can do it. I can change this. I can build that. And I don't need the instructions and I don't need those screws. Yes, yes, you do. We need to go to the source. We need to go and get our strength from those. And we need to get it from God. So prayer reflects our longing for God. We need Him. him. And I love the fact that Paul kneels. He says here, for this reason, I kneel before the Father. Now, back in the Jewish culture, they didn't kneel. Men didn't. It wasn't the posture that they took. So for Paul to say this, to say, I kneel before the Father, that shows humility. That shows humility that he knew who he was coming to. He knew. It showed a desperation, a longing to connect with God, a longing to connect to him. So often that we lose sight. We just lose sight of what God is calling us to do. And prayer, there is so much power in prayer. Again, I know I've shared to you around Naomi and when she was born, that she was really, really poorly. And the power of prayer to see my baby today at 17 years old, and thankfully she's not in the room. Just incredible that God restored her life, and that was through the power of prayer. The centrality of prayer in that moment, when she's there in an incubator with these blue lights on her and little goggles all over her face that basically swallowed her whole face up, and tubes all down her throats and everything. And you're like being told by doctors, there's just no hope. There is no hope. But we have a higher hope. We have a hope in a God that heals. And the power of prayer from not just in our church, but across the nation. My sister was at a youth conference, and this is what I love about the power of the youth and young people. My sister was at a youth conference, and she had the news that basically we'd just been told this is possibly it for the second time. And she said, right, she got off the phone. And these young people, and I've sent a video, they marched a field. And they marched around a field declaring life over Naomi's life. They declared that she was going to live. They declared her future over her. The power of prayer. The power of prayer. The connection with heaven. Connecting with what God is saying, what God's truth is over a situation is so important. And sometimes we do just have to go. And I used to always say to my children, we're going to kneel when we pray at bedtime. And sometimes they'd go, why? Is it because that it's in the book, in the storybook that we've got where the little children sit with their hands like this? And it's like, no, because what we're doing is we're coming before God. We're showing them that in humility we come before you, God, and we say thank you. We come in humility. We posture ourselves. Even this is posture. Connecting with you, Father. Connecting with you. Laying on the floor. Even there's nothing wrong with just sitting in your chair, though. Please don't hear that. Because it's all about our heart as well. But it's our posture. We often try to do our best to love God more. We try to love God more. But actually, I think what we need to do is give permission for God to love us. And to be loved by God more clearly, and just, we're so desperate that we've got to love more God more. We've got to do this. We've got to do. Actually, take the we away. Let God. Let God. Let him speak over you. Let him minister to you. Forget the to-do list. And now, that's something I've actually learned to do is just put my list aside and go, God, here I am. I have nothing to say today. And I can probably imagine in heaven, God going, yes, because I know you like to talk. But I have nothing to say today, God, just come. come speak to me. And as we call out to him, we do align ourselves with heaven. That's what we do. Align ourselves with heaven, with his heart. And I'm really aware that when we go out on the streets, what is the one thing we do first? We come into his presence and we pray, because we're aligning ourselves with his will. And if we're going to transform lives out there, we're going to transform lives in our families. I'm very aware that there's many non-Christians in my own family. And if we're going to transform those lives, then what we've got to do is we've got to align ourselves with the will of God. They will see when we are in alignment with God, with his will. One Thessalonians 5:16-17 says, rejoice always. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So to pray without ceasing means to have our minds always on the things of God. Always have our mind on the things of God. And I know I said, you know, sometimes we come and we say, but it's always about being in constant communication with him, so that we can be as fruitful as possible. We want to be a fruitful people. Every moment with God should be fruitful, even if that's just for our own benefit. It's because we want to be aligned with him. And I'm just so aware that everything that goes on in the world, that, as I shared with you, what I'm going through, it can really lead to a prayerlessness life. Because you're so focused on what's going on the tasks, the to-do lists. And I don't know about you, but this time of year at school is a really difficult, well, not difficult, but it's just busy. And those of you that are in education will know it's like, Christmas plays. I don't have to do Christmas plays. Thank you, Jesus. Do you have? Christine has to do Christmas plays. She's got the fun year group. Well, I'm just going to stand still. But it's a really busy season. And then you've also got all the things that go on in church. You've just got things that pile on and pile on and pile on. And sometimes we give up praying because our plans are bigger than making time for our prayer life. But how many of us give up because it's not quite going to plan? I don't know, if life isn't quite going how you expect it, how many of you just sort of think, oh gosh, I'm going to give up? Just me, okay, that's fine. That's fine. You know, these last 4 weeks, believe me, there have been several times, several conversations that I have just gone, do you know what, I'm just going to give up. I am just going to give up. I am... You know, if I could go and find a little hut all by myself, somewhere in the middle of nowhere, thank you, Jesus, I would love that. But that's not because I'm a people person. It's completely, but it's just how I've been feeling. Because it's not quite going to plan how I thought things were going to go to plan. But whose plan is it in the first place? Whose plan am I following? Am I following my plan? Or am I following God's plan? And that's where we've got to get to. And that's why prayer is so important. Because when we come to him, when we pray, when we ask him. Remember, we don't know every single detail of God's plan. He doesn't give it all in one go. And I was reminded the other, somebody gave me a word the other day. And said, it feels like your life's a little bit foggy at the moment. It's really foggy and you can't really see far ahead. And I'm like, you have no idea. But actually, when it's foggy, all you see is just in front of you, just the immediate. And that's enough, because God's got you in that moment, in that step. And that, for me, was so important to know, not to give up praying, not to lose hope. you know, when life's busy, when things go wrong, when things are going well, we need to not get distracted and prioritize our prayer life. Because otherwise our prayer life suffers. And then what happens is that we become distracted. And think, and this is something God's really been challenging me on, prayerlessness, I'm not even sure it's a word, but prayerlessness, okay, is not a discipline problem. It's not because I've not got up at 5 o'clock in the morning. It's not because I've not used my app on my phone. It's a faith problem. It's a faith problem. When I say prayerlessness, I don't mean it's like not completely there, it's completely gone. It just means that I'm not as close to God, or I'm not praying without ceasing. I'm not praying without ceasing in all circumstances. I'm not dialoguing with God in prayer. It's more of that email type prayer that I'm talking about. Prayer feels, it's really interesting. Sometimes when I'm in those moments, you know, I am talking about myself here. It can feel a little bit burdensome, praying, but it doesn't feel like I'm getting anything from it. I don't feel like I'm communicating with God. I just feel like I'm ranting at God. And it's more of a sort of futile exercise rather than a rush on it. It's like automatic. I'm trying to avoid the situation because I really am not sure I want to hear what he's got to say. But it's quick. And our prayers can feel powerless, and we can sit there feeling like we're powerless people. But that's because of our faith issue, not because. It's not by God. God's there. But it's our faith issue. And what happens that when faith breaks down, we don't seem to be able to move. We don't mean to shift. And so I want to liken it a little bit to a train. It's the only way I can try and communicate this clearly. Think of a train, and faith is the engine of prayer. Faith is the engine of prayer. God's promises are the fuel, and discipline, so the apps, the getting up, the doing, are the rails. When we're in that prayerlessness state, it's because our engines have stalled. We've not derailed, but we've just stalled. And for prayer to get going again, or for the engine to get going again, we need to fire up our faith. We need to fire up the engine with the fuel. What are those promises God has said over your life? What are those things that he's spoken over your life that get the stoke, the fire, to get it going again? Discipline doesn't power the train. Your faith does. Using the apps, using those acronyms that we used to teach the children, you know, all of those things, they're not bad things. But we need to fuel, we need to fuel the fire. Our faith needs to be brought alive again. The methods, the apps, all of those things that we use, they're beneficial. But discipline, how we do it, the way we do it. But it's also, if we rely on that, it's false hope. If we're just relying on the how we do it, the apps, you know, there's nothing more important than the word of God. What is this saying? I love sitting with my Bible. I try to avoid apps for daily apps. Now, there's nothing wrong. Please don't hear me when I say that, because for some people it's really, really helpful. But I think it becomes a distraction. Faith powers the train when you trust in God's word. So I love now using my physical Bible. I just, everywhere I go, I take it with me. Because living is breathing. Discipline guides the train, okay? So the rails drive it. Which way is it going? That's fine. It guides it. It's that it's planning, there's structure in it, there are methods. But you can only focus on those once you've stoked your engine. Because if you're lacking in faith, if you're lacking in God, in confidence in God, then what you do is stay still. It doesn't matter what apps you're reading, or, you know, even reading the Word of God, sometimes it just stays stagnant because you've got to stoke the fire. You've got to stoke the fire. Reading God's Word is so important. When your faith is fired up, and I love it, you know, we move forward in prayer. We move forward. We're led by the Spirit, and the rails, you know, they just guide. We start moving again. We start shifting to align ourselves to God's will. We need to move forward in prayer, to move forward, to stoke that fire within us. We've got to align ourselves with God's will. What is He saying to you? We've got to unplug our ears. And it's really funny, I had a picture when I was preparing for this. I did have a picture of this person who had cotton buds in its cotton wool in their ears. They had blinders over their eyes, and they had gaffer tape over their mouth. And I was like, this is really interesting, because what God wants to do this morning, He wants to take out the cotton wool, He wants to take off the gaffer tape, He wants to take off the blinders. And He wants to release each and every one of us into a new season of freedom, a new season of fruitfulness, but a season where we are devoted and prayerfully seeking first His kingdom. And how do we do that? We do that by aligning ourselves with the will of God, coming in humility. Know that God is for you and not against you. And it's so easy to blame God for everything when it's going wrong. So easy to go, God, you've abandoned me, you've left me. But no, He is for you, not against you. And we also need to rejoice always. Always rejoice. Praying continually. And giving thanks in all circumstances. That's what we've got to do to stoke the fire within us, to move forward, to stay on track. Prayer is powerful. Prayer shifts atmospheres. Prayer brings us into a place of freedom. And we need to be a people that are praying and seeking first His kingdom. And so what I'd love us to do, I can't see Benjamin. He's somewhere, oh, he's there on the floor. I've asked Benjamin if he's going to come and play a song for us. And worthy of it all. We said this morning that He is worthy of it all. And if you're struggling with things in your life this morning, that you're finding things difficult and you don't know where to go with it, I want us just to be declaring this. I want this to be your prayer this morning. Benjamin's going to be saying, I want you guys to be praying it out as well, that He is worthy of it all. He is worthy of it all. He is worthy of it all, whatever you're facing. If your prayer life is, if you feel like, gosh, feel like Rachel, this is like really speaking to me and my prayer life's not great, I want you to find a posture of humility this morning. If you want to come to the front and just kneel or sit or stand or raise your hands, you can do that. If you want to be where you are in your seat, then do that all. But posture yourself. Fuel that fire of faith within you, because He is worthy of it all. Let me pray and then Benjamin will stop. Father, we just come before You this morning. Lord, we thank You for Your word. Lord, thank You that You are working in my life I thank you that you're working everybody's life here and that you're working it for good. And I just pray, Father God, that you would just stir up that fire within us, that you'd stoke the fire of faith. And Lord, thank you that through prayer we can dialogue with you, that we communicate with you, and we can download heaven. We can get that download from heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.